Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. Been a while, sorry. I know you guys been begging us to come back. We got some little vacations in, and we're rested and ready to go. Big week, right? NFL draft on Thursday, and fired up and ready to get you ready for the draft.
Can't wait on those 7 day 3 picks that they have. You know, we're going to be rolling all the way through the end of the seventh
package
round.
Package them, baby. Package them all. We need some trades up. Move up.
Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, if you're listening to this, please trade up.
I'm just ready for this anonymous scout season part of the draft to be over with. Seems like things are getting real toxic now that it's coming up upon us.
Yeah, every year there's gossip comes out about guys. You hear about, you know, cognitive test scores, and this guy is a bad guy. And a lot of times it's just teams want these guys to drop on the draft board. So it's kind of scandalous. I mean, that's the way it is. It's kind of the nature of the business. But I'm very excited about this. It's the first round pick of the new regime. I think this is a very important draft for these guys, and I'm looking forward to it.
As you stand, as you look at it, 12 picks that they hold. If you go based on the mock draft that Vic and Tashawn put together, they even added a couple of more with some trades back. And 12 rookies won't make this team. 14 rookies definitely won't make this team. All 14 of those players you guys picked in your mock draft. Obviously, when you're doing a mock draft, you're really kind of you put like 90% of the attention on your mock draft on figuring out that first round pick, especially when it's a top 10. But certainly if they gain extra picks in the second, the third, the fourth round or whatever, you could see a scenario where they're going to probably be doing some packaging up and moving up, because, I mean, they understand that 12 picks, 14 picks, those aren't all making the draft. And so there could be scenarios where a trade back in that first round is even about acquiring more picks for next year's draft, just because they do already have so many in this year that, kind of building toward the future and adding, let's say somebody is going to offer you a third round pick this year or a second round pick next year, you might be more inclined to go to that future route.
Yeah, my sense is they definitely, if they are in a situation where they look to trade down from number 7, they would be pressing for future picks, maybe a little bit more than this year's picks. Now, obviously, if you're talking a day 3 selection, like a second round pick, a third round pick, I don't think they'd be too choosy with that. Like those picks are valuable right now to them. But if you start getting into the day 3 pick range where somebody's offering fourth rounders and fifth rounders, then I could see them trying to, turn those into future fourths and fifths, in years where they maybe don't have as much, extra draft capital towards the end of the draft. And so, but I think also what people have to realize, and this probably played out to a degree with them taking Clelin Ferrell, number 4, back a couple of years ago, is like, you can want to trade back, but like somebody has to want to trade up. Like it's not guaranteed that somebody wants your pick, And I mean, we can think, let's say Will Levis is there at 7, like for sure some quarterback desperate team is going to make them offer to move up, but maybe they don't, And so it's a very fluid process that runs through draft night. And I think we kind of lose track of that sometimes.
Yeah, Vic, you love the story of DJ Hayden, right? Who ends up being a...
I don't love the story. It's a sad story. Reggie would have taken DJ Hayden third, but he was trying to find a trade partner down. It came down in the last second, and they didn't get a really good deal. In terms of what they got back was not really what you should get back for that high a pick. But they were kind of desperate, and that's what happens if you get on the clock and the seconds are ticking away, and you don't have anybody else that you really want to get at that high. So it definitely is tough business when you get in the clock, you want to trade down, and teams know that. Teams, depends what they want, like Tashawn said. But I think in this draft, with the quarterbacks, with Jalen Carter, The cornerbacks is a great class. So I think there's enough guys where teams may want to trade up and get someone at seven if you want to trade down.
You know, the lesson learned with those past regimes and even the Gruden regime is like drafting is hard. Like if you fall in love with a player too much and you're so convicted on him, that usually leads to mistakes, especially when you're, you know, having to reach for these guys because the value's all off. Like you should fall in love with a group of guys and be good with picking out of that group. But, you know, that's where you get in trouble is when you just, you know, love a guy so much, you're going to take him no matter what the value is at that point in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that 2019 draft where you talk about Cleveland Furl, it's a tricky one because it was pretty much viewed as, you know, the first three picks were you know, Kyler Murray, and then you got Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams, who are two guys that they would have absolutely loved to have gotten their hands on. And then after that, there was a lot of mixed, you know, kind of scouting reports on who was next. I mean, Cleveland Furl was a guy that nobody was talking about as a number four pick, but, you know, Devin White, I think, was the guy that we were all kind of looking at. And I mean, certainly that's a draft that produces Josh Allen. And, you know, in retrospect, he would have loved to have grabbed him, but obviously that was not anywhere kind of in your mind to grab a quarterback when you're up at the number four pick there. And let's have enough of that and move on to this year's draft. And we'll take a look at the mock draft that Vic and Tashawn put together out on Monday on The Athletic. You guys traded back twice, first from number 7 to number 12 with the Texans. The Texans came up and drafted Jalen Carter and gave you pick number 65, and then went from 12 to 17 and got number 80. So added two extra third-round picks, gave you six picks in the top 60. But then when you got to pick 17, you guys couldn't agree. And Tashawn, you went with Nolan Smith, the edge rusher out of Georgia. Vic, you took Joey Porter Jr., cornerback out of Penn State. Kind of explain your rationale for both those picks.
Yeah, I think with Smith, you know, he was just, to me, you know, the best defensive player available, which was the focus at that point in the first round, as you get towards kind of the second half of it. You know, he's somebody that, you know, probably wouldn't start, you know, this season, considering they have Chandler Jones. And even though Chandler is coming off a bad season, I would expect, especially with his salary, for him to be the starter to kick off the year. But, you know, Smith is somebody that could be a really high end, you know, third pass rusher in the rotation. And also he's like a super effective run defender. Like he's a smaller guy, but he's elite in that aspect. And that's not necessarily Chandler Jones' strong suit. And so I think on maybe some of those more obvious rushing downs, he could, you know, rotate in for him and do a better job of setting the edge. And he's really a complete player. He's not necessarily, you know, I don't know if he's going to be like a 12 to 15 sack guy every year, but, you know, maybe 8 to 10 and be a really good run defender and be a consistent, you know, starter, you know, for years to come. Because I think, you know, even if, you know, Chandler Jones has a great season this year, like they're probably going to at least look to restructure his deal, if not move on after this season. And so next year, you know, Smith could become, you know, a full-time starter for them. You know, obviously ideally you always turn your first round pick into a day one starter, but I think if he's a productive defender, especially considering how bad their defense is, and is somebody that is going to be a starter next year in almost all likelihood, I still think that would be a win for them in the first round.
Yeah, to me, I really like the cornerbacks in this draft, especially the three at the top, Christian Gonzalez, Devon Witherspoon, and Joey Porter. I think I'd have no problems with staying at seven and taking either Gonzalez or Witherspoon, but I think maybe you get more value if he gets more picks, trade down. And I think Porter is a really good player. I think he's got the size you want. He's good in coverage. He plays the ball well. He can tackle well. He's got the pedigree. His dad was a big-time player, and I think he has some of that's nasty to him. So I love all three of these guys. I really do. I think if you're the Raiders, you can get one of these three guys in this draft and kind of turn a weak spot on your defense to a strong point and have number one guy for years to come. To me, that would be a great start to your draft.
I like this cornerback group too. It's not that I don't like Joey Porter. I think I think Gonzalez and Witherspoon are like the top two guys. And I think there's like a separation between them and the next crop of cornerbacks. And so I felt like, you know, especially with us adding some of those picks later on, that we could still get a guy that could start in year one, you know, in that second round. And so, because they need everything on defense pretty much. And so I was just trying to find ways to maybe check multiple boxes and starting caliber guys. It wasn't, you know, I think Joey Porter is going to be a year one starter as well. So it's definitely no diss towards him.
And Vic, I know part of your thing, you like Nolan Smith, but you have questions about whether or not he's going to be there at 17. And that's obviously the hard part about, you know, doing these mock drafts is like, we can all do the perfect mock draft and sit there and tout it like, ah, if they had just done that. But we really don't know ultimately whether or not these guys are actually going to be there, especially when we're trading down.
Yeah, there's so much buzz. You know, some of it's fake buzz, some of it's smoke. The team's having these plans. They want to get things done. But I do believe like there is a lot of buzz about Will Levis going number two all of a sudden. He's the bang favorite in most markets now to go second in the draft, which I think is pretty interesting. I think a lot of buzz about Nolan Smith going top 10 now. I think he's had a really good offseason in terms of the visits and the combine, and just kind of, I think teams like what he can do in terms of his versatility and his dynamic athletic ability. So I think he'll be gone by 17. There's another reason why I went with Joey Porter.
All right, we're going to move on to round two. We're not going to go through every one of these picks, but when we look at round two, pick number 38, you guys essentially flipped your order. Tashawn, you went for the cornerback here. Vic, you went for the edge rusher. Tashawn goes with Emmanuel Forbes, cornerback out of Mississippi State. Vic takes Iowa State's Will McDonald the fourth. These are two positions, obviously, the Raiders need starting level cornerbacks. They need at least a third edge rusher who can be an impact player. What did you guys like about those picks?
Yeah, I think with Emmanuel, you know, he's the size does scare you a little bit. He's 166. So I think he'd be the lightest guy on his call right now, pretty sure. But he does have, you know, elite speed. He's really long. You know, he has the height that you want. Physical press man corner, good fundamentals. He's a willing tackler, even though he's, you know, on the lighter end. And I think his frame is one that could gain some weight with a little bit more intentionality with the NFL meal plan and strength staff. And I think he's a guy that could compete for a starting role in year one. I mean, like, they don't really have, you know, guys, I would say, that are locked into those outside starting corner spots. Like, I think we expect Nate Hobbs to be a starting nickelback, but I think it's a rookie could pretty, I wouldn't say easily, but like there's a window there, you know, for him to be a starter right away. And he has a lot of those traits that GM Dave Ziegler, you know, laid it out last week. You know, they really want those complete cornerbacks that can play man, play zone, you know, be physical, but also have smooth fundamentals, you know, can support in the run game. And I think he checks all those boxes. And, you know, he's definitely going to get into some situations where maybe if he's going against a more physical receiver like a Jamar Chase or something like that, like he may not be able to win with him at the line of scrimmage in terms of trying to press him. But I think looking ahead long term, he has a lot of upside.
Yeah, I think when Deshaun and I were in the war room, we were definitely on the same page. We wanted to address, you know, the D-line and cornerback. We just did it in a different order. I think I like his guy a lot, too. But I just think if I got a cornerback in the first round, I'll go with Will McDonald, who's a little undersized. I think he's 6'4", 239, but he's got long arms. You watch his tape, he definitely he jumps off the screen, definitely explosive, can get to the quarterback. I think he's a guy who can help your pass rush. Even with Chandler Jones, some kind of capacity, he can be your third guy. He can move someone inside. But I think he definitely gets that push you need to get the quarterback in this division. So that's the guy I took in round two.
All right, we're going to get to a couple more picks here. Third round with that number 65, that extra pick that you guys got from the Texans from trading down. You guys both went tight end. Tashawn goes with Iowa's Sam Laporta. Vic, you go with Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State.
Yeah, I know, you know, Laporta is kind of an intriguing pick because Dane Brugler and his draft guy compares him to Austin Hooper, and the Raiders already have Austin Hooper. But I do think Hooper is a little bit, like, I won't say he's 28, so he still probably has a couple years left in him. But I think we've seen his peak years. I think he's just like a solid guy at this point. Maybe he might be better off as a second tight end in a rotation. But I think Laporta has more upside. Obviously, he's a lot younger, but similar receiving ability. And I think he could be a better blocker maybe than Hooper was early on in his career. And so, you know, he doesn't have the highest ceiling, but I do think he's a starting caliber tight end, basically a good enough starter, which, you know, when you have Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers and Hunter Renfrow, like you don't necessarily need like Travis Kelce at tight end. Obviously, it'd be nice, but I think he just gives them a nice, solid, starting caliber, reliable guy who's pretty young, and they could develop him into potentially being more over time.
Yeah, Dane definitely got in my head because the whole Austin Hooper comparison. Hooper is great. I don't need two Austin Hoopers. If I got one, I don't need the 1.0 or 2.0. So I like Kraft. Kraft is a very physical guy. I think he can block well. You see him after the catch. He makes plays in terms of breaking tackles. He kind of has a nose for the first down marker. And I think he also is a guy who can get better. He's a little raw. Obviously, South Dakota State's not a hotbed of football. But I think he projects pretty well to be a guy you can count on pretty soon this year in terms of making plays and making a difference both in blocking and catching the ball.
All right, we're going to get shortly into the quarterback rankings. Ted's going to kind of run through his, how he sees the guys. But you guys did attempt early on in this draft to see if you can move up to number three and you know, with the Cardinals. Obviously, that's a pick that everyone thinks could be for sale and believes could be for sale and try to get a quarterback there. You didn't do that. You guys both went into the mid rounds before grabbing one, and you got the same one. Jake Haener, Fresno State, keeping the tradition alive of having a Fresno State cornerback, quarterback on this roster. Vic, you jumped the gun on the fourth round. Tashaun waited around to the fifth round to grab him. You know, he's a guy that he doesn't like the comparison, but everyone is pretty much immediately we started calling him this draft's Brock Purdy, and you know, we'll see. I mean, it's Brock Purdy has certainly brought more attention to the undersized quarterbacks that he's given reason to get more excited about these kind of guys than he might have otherwise.
Yeah, to me, I think it's important in this draft. You walk away with, I think, ideally, three guys who can start in defense and a young quarterback you can kind of groom, and maybe, if not be the number one guy, can definitely be your number two guy, you know, for a long time going forward. A guy definitely makes a part of your future. So I like Haener's traits. He's definitely a little undersized, but he makes plays. He's tough, man. And people, as a Fresno State comparison with Derek Carr, but I think he's a little tougher than Derek is in terms of staying in the pocket and being a little grittier than Derek is. Doesn't have the arm talent Derek does, obviously. Otherwise, he wouldn't be going this late in the draft. But he's a tough kid. He's smart. I get why he doesn't like the Brock Purdy comparisons, because Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. So you're kind of saying, hey, man, you suck, but you may be better than we think you are. That's not – I don't want to hear that from him. I get it. But I like him. He's, he comes across well when we talk to him. And I think he did well in the visits with the Raiders. So I think he's a guy on their radar. And to me, like I said, this draft is all about getting defensive starters and a young quarterback. And he checks that box for me.
Yeah, I don't think Haener is ever going to be more than a backup, but I think that's a fine outcome. I mean, like right now, Brian Hoyer, obviously he's not, you know, playing much longer at his age, and your man's Chase Garber, Garber's probably isn't going to be around too much longer either.
It's my guy.
They need a young guy that they can develop up into that reliable backup, you know, after losing Jarrett Stidham, somebody can teach the system and have him around, you know, for a few years. Especially like where I took him in the fifth round, like if he's only ever a backup, I think that's fine. Like, you know, he doesn't have to become a starter one day for that pick to be a solid one.
And just philosophically, that's something, you know, if you go with the Patriots connection, that's something the Patriots, you know, like to do. They like to grab that developmental quarterback. I mean, we saw them, you know, use a second round pick on Garoppolo, even though they had Tom Brady. I mean, they're a team that's always going to look to develop that guy, whether, and they're fine with that, you know, drafting that guy if it's fairly early, even if it's just to be their backup. That's something they tend to do. I think what Stidham was a fourth round pick for them, I believe, or fourth or fifth round pick. So that's something you would expect probably to happen fairly regularly every couple of years, even if they have their guy as their starter. But Ted, let's get into the high end quarterbacks in this draft. And in this mock, you know, the Vic and Tashaun did attempt to go up and see about getting one. They didn't. I don't think any of us expect that that's probably what they're going to do, but it's certainly on the table. How do you break down, you know, this quarterback class? It's obviously it's ridden a wave. You know, for a while it started out as Bryce Young was the number one guy, then C.J. Stroud kind of became the number one guy. Now it seems like it's back to Bryce Young, and Stroud's taking a dip. Just when you look at, you know, how the way you look at him on film, how do you break down this class?
I think Bryce Young is very clearly the number one quarterback in this class. I mean, you know, when you have a guy that has his size, you know, you don't typically see him being number one in so many people's boards, but he just does so many of the things you have to do as a quarterback well, like process, play within the pocket, you know, be in charge of protections, and then just dazzle out of structure. You know, that's why he's number one. And, you know, he's very similar to Joe Burrow. I don't think he's as athletic as Joe Burrow, and obviously not as big, but just that ability to play within the pocket. You just don't see quarterbacks with that sort of maturity that often. He's my number one quarterback, and he, you know, he should probably gonna be the number one pick, so the Raiders don't have a chance at him. C.J. Stroud is my number two guy, extremely accurate. The critiques on him is he just wasn't very successful creating, or wasn't very willing to create outside of structure until that game against Georgia, where, you know, all of a sudden he just started making all these plays out of pocket, getting away from pressure and doing all those things. And before seeing these connections with the Raiders and rumors that the Raiders might move up to get him, I compared him to a more athletic Derek Carr, you know, because there's sometimes where he just doesn't, he has the ability to create and run, but he just doesn't want to do it. And he's very accurate. You'll see those flashes of arm talent. But with CJ Stroud, I don't know if he has that elite ceiling, that ceiling to get to the top tier of quarterbacks. I think, you know, he could be a very good tier two type of quarterback. But with him, I just question whether he has that ceiling. But he does have the highest floor of the quarterbacks in this draft. And I would say he might even have a higher floor than Bryce Young, just because we don't know if Bryce Young could, you know, really take that NFL punishment with his size quite yet. Number three is Anthony Richardson. We all know about Anthony Richardson's athleticism. I don't think he gets enough credit for playing quarterback, playing within structure, doing those quarterback type of things like change protections and go through progressions. He has great pocket presence. Obviously, the accuracy is an issue, but I think, you know, just based on watching his tape, part of his accuracy issues were the Florida offense. They did not throw a bubble screen. They didn't do those things that kind of prop up a quarterback's completion percentage. The receivers there were really bad as far as catching the ball, as far as getting open. And I think a lot of those accuracy issues could be fixed with better technique, footwork improvements, and we've seen quarterbacks do that in NFL in recent years. Will Levis is my number four quarterback. He's the last guy that I'll give a first-round grade to. Probably the worst supporting cast of any first-round quarterback in the past few years. Really bad offensive line. Receivers can't get open, but great arm talent, a little bit older at 24 years old. He's also a threat on the ground as well, so he has all the tools you want. And then Hendon Hooker is my number two quarterback. He's going to be an older prospect. He's going to be 1 year younger than Lamar Jackson, who's played in the league for five years already, to put that in perspective. He's coming off an ACL injury, plays in a really funky offense that might have ingrained some bad habits in him. I see the traits. I can see why teams like him, but he's a second-round type of guy. So as far as Richardson, I wouldn't bat an eye if he went number one. I think, you know, I could see why teams would want to bet on that ceiling and, you know, with that physical profile as well.
Yeah, I know I'm all in on Richardson, but it's interesting with Stroud. Like, we've come a long way. We got like the black quarterback critique for not running. You know, that's like a milestone moment, you know. But yeah, I think, you know, realistically for the Raiders, like Young and Stroud just aren't going to be realistic options. Like, you know, if the Texans actually aren't going to take a quarterback at number two, maybe you could try to swing a trade up. But the price that it's going to cost, you know, compared to all the needs that they have, it's hard to see them meeting it. And also, like, a more desperate team like the Colts, I feel like, you know, for one, they have a higher first round pick and they're more desperate. Like, they're going to be more willing to give up those assets. And so, like, even if they want to, I think it's going to be hard for them to win that bidding war. And so the most realistic outcome seemed to be either Richardson or Levis or both being there at seven. If it was me, you know, obviously I would take Richardson. I think you just bet on the upside. He's younger. You know, he needs to sit for a year, I think. And you have a guy in Jimmy Garoppolo who, you know, is a competent starter as long as he's healthy. It could hold you down for that year or maybe longer if need be, while you work on developing that guy. But Levis being older, he turns the ball over a lot. Like, I know people harp on like Richardson's accuracy, but I think Levis has 23 interceptions in his 2 years as a starter. He had really bad pocket presence. So he has a lot of talent, but I just don't know, especially with him being older, almost 25 years old, like, can you get him out of those bad habits soon enough to really take advantage of him being on that rookie scale contract and for him to kind of salvage and maximize his potential. And so, you know, like Hendon Hooker, like I think for me, like it's tough for me to anyway, like, especially since you had to probably take him in the second round, like, to justify a 25-year-old quarterback coming off an ACL injury who played in a super simple offense that has to learn Josh McDaniels' complex-ass offense that Derek Carr struggled to get, apparently. I don't know. Like, I think, you know, you could use that resource better off, especially considering all their needs on defense or even on the offensive line, you know, adding a player there. And so I think once you get past your top three guys, you know, Young, Stroud, and Richardson, I think it's better off just waiting until like one of those day three guys, like me and Vic did in our mock draft, more of a developmental backup type who maybe has a chance to become more, but probably not.
Yeah, my favorite quarterback is Stroud. I think in his draft, I think he's, like you said, the most accurate. I think he, I know people talk about the cognitive test the last few weeks, but he plays smart. He can make plays with his feet. I mean, I think he did it in the last game, and I think that bodes well for the future. I don't understand why he wouldn't be in the top two. I think I've been saying all along, you know, draft defense, trade down, yada, yada, yada. But if CJ Stroud's there at three, I might change my whole plan and try and move up. I think he's that good. I think he's a guy who, like I said, I think he's the best quarterback in this draft. So I would be I'd be surprised if other Raiders if he was there, and I probably would be aggressive. But otherwise, I think Ted's rankings are pretty on point. I think, like you said, Levis has got a lot of issues, but I mean, his receivers were Deshaun and myself. We were his two receivers last year, so he didn't have a lot of options as far as throwing the ball. I think he were just in a kind of similar in terms of they have some great tape, some awful tape, some great traits, some bad traits. I think they're very similar to me. They're kind of both boomer bust prospects, which I think is always dangerous at this high in a draft. So, yeah, I'm cool with letting the quarterbacks, you know, go somewhere else and get in defense. But again, if CJ Stroud's there at three because of all these dumb rumors, then I would definitely be aggressive all of a sudden and try and move up.
So how aggressive are we talking? Would you give up this year's first and next year's first?
Yeah, because I'm gonna be good, right? So next year's first won't be worth much. I'm having a good record this year, so what I care about next year's first.
And also, probably, like with that, what do you do? Like, do you not start CJ Stroud this year?
No, you compete. That's what Ziegler said the other day, that they can compete. I mean, again, I just think that if you are picking seventh, it's a rare chance to get a guy who can be a franchise quarterback. I thought that wasn't going to be there because, again, I think Young and Stroud are above the other two guys. And Bryce have – I questioned the whole size thing more than some people do. I'm not sure it's going to work for him at the next level. That's why I like Stroud better. And he's more accurate, I think, than Bryce Young is. So I think he's a difference maker. I think he's a guy who can be your franchise quarterback. And so the chances to get one of those guys is rare. So I think if you are at seven – it is going to cost you to move up, but not, you know, as much as it would in other years when you're further down the draft board. So in that case, I probably would give up this year's first, next year's first. But if I'm Ziegler and McDaniels, it buys me more time, too. I got longer to get this thing going. But to me, like I said, it's rare to have a chance to get who I think is a top quarterback in the draft. And that's just my belief. So if that chance is there and you get him at three, I'd probably be aggressive.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This defense is never going to be good, right? We're just blowing all. You blow it all these first draft picks.
Again, I never thought CJ Stroud. I thought he was going to go first like 2 months ago. So I never thought he'd be even like this. I mean, who knows what happens? Again, these rumors, you never know what they're based on. But if he does fall, if Levis somehow goes second and CJ Stroud is their third, then I would definitely take advantage of that. Because just going off the game film for me, he was the best quarterback last year, and I think things changed through this process, the offseason, you know. But if you just rely on the film, he plays smart. He's accurate. He can make plays with his feet. I know he didn't want to at times because he had so many weapons around him. I don't blame him. You want to give the ball to the guys who actually are, you know, are paid to do that. So, I think he's the best quarterback. So that would change my opinion and my viewpoint of how to approach things if he was there at three.
And, I mean, you do have the luxury of being able to give him extra time to learn that McDaniels offense. It's so complex, everyone says. It's a hard offense to learn. You do have that luxury of giving him extra time. You let him compete with Garoppolo, and it's not a terrible thing if Garoppolo beats him out and say, hey, you know, that's the money we spent was to have a reliable starter and a guy that can groom our quarterback. I mean, obviously, when you take a quarterback number three, you don't want him sitting for very long, but I'm talking if he has to – if he sits behind him for the first month or so, and the odds of Garoppolo either getting hurt or having some struggles at some point this season are fairly high. So, I mean, you do have that luxury of letting him have a little extra time to learn the McDaniels offense if you need it.
Yeah, and again, Stroud's the only guy I would trade up for. I wouldn't trade up for anybody else. So that'd be the one case where I thought one or two would be too high, but three is still going to be expensive. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, at that point, I mean, who else wants to move up and who you're competing against as far as trade offers? But, I definitely would be in the mix if he was there at three.
And also, like, I think one more, like, possibility is, and I don't know how they feel about the four guys, but let's say there is a quarterback still available at number five with the Seahawks that they like. Like, a smaller trade-up is also possible. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily be 7-2 or 7-3. Like, if there's a, you know, there could be a smaller move made there to maybe land a quarterback if they feel strong enough about one.
Did you guys have an opportunity to draft a quarterback at seven before you traded down?
Yeah, his name was Will Levis. Wasn't happening.
he wasn't budging that one. I agree with him. I'm not as down on Levis as Deshaun is, but definitely, like, to me, he's too boom or bust for me. I can get a stud defensive player. I can trade down, get a stud defensive player. I'm doing that. Again, the only quarterback that really gets me excited in terms of mortgaging my future, trading picks to move up and get one, is Stroud.
To me, a good scenario for the Raiders would be if the Texans pass on a quarterback and the Colts really are in love with Levis and pick him, and then, you know, you have a possibility of picking up that number five pick, like Deshaun said, and you might have Stroud or Richardson there.
The Texans can't pick a non-quarterback at number two, right? If they're not taking a quarterback, they've got to trade that.
It could be the Colts, though.
Yeah, you would think the Colts would jump up to two.
I was going to say, there's no way Houston or Arizona stands pat if the quarterback is there at two. I mean, they're going to trade down because Arizona.
I think Tets and Eric still work. Because, like, let's say the Colts trade up to two and take Levis. The Cardinals go defense at three. The Texans go defense at – who would trade to three?
Anybody. I mean, when C.J. Stroud's there at three, you're saying – I think that there could be the Titans. Yeah. Could be. I mean, there's teams that can move up. The Seahawks even can move up to get – I mean, I think there would be enough – demand for Stroud at three, where I think I don't know why Arizona wouldn't take a defensive player when they can move down and get a defensive player three or four picks later, I think, or even two picks later. But I can't imagine Arizona takes a defensive player if CJ Stroud's there at three. I think they got to trade down.
Yeah, I think it depends, like, if, because there's been a lot of stuff the last couple of weeks of people being down on Stroud all of a sudden. So I just wonder, like, how much truth is it to that, you know, league wide? Like, I guess, you know, he could maybe be there at five, but I don't think he would be either. Like you said, maybe the Titans or the Raiders or, you know, some other team would have to go up to three. But again, we don't know. This shit is very fluid. Like, you know, we'll see how it turns out. I think it's possible. It's probably not likely, but, you know, I think the further he slides, the harder it is to justify not making that call to go up and go get him because he's just too good.
Historically, quarterbacks go higher than everyone, and even higher than people think they're going to go. There's always people are ultra aggressive for quarterbacks because such an important position. You got to take people take chances every year on these guys. So I think that's why I think these four guys are going to go higher than people think. I think they're going to go, you know, probably all gone in the top 10, if not higher. So I do think we will be aggressive in terms of trading up to get one of these four guys. Even Hooker, I think Hooker's going to go first round. I think Hooker, based on the demand and the interest and how important the position is, I think he'll go first round, which, like you said, it's a tough one because he's older. He's coming off ACL. His offense was not complex at all, but he made plays and people like his personality and definitely he's a leadership type guy. So I do believe he'll go in the first round as well.
Peter King had Hooker going 12 and Richardson going 23 or something like that on his mock draft.
What?
Yeah. Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. So there you go.
Have a conversation.
I mean, the thing on Hooker, like we talked about before, I mean, is there's value if he's there in the 20s of jumping up late into the first round to get him, just for the simple fact of having that fifth round option, having that extra year under contract, add some value there. If you want to try to jump up, you know, we saw that's what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson and it helped them there. All right. We're talking about a lot of scenarios. Let's break down. What is the best case scenario for the Raiders on Thursday? And no, Ted, do not say that Bryce Young falls to number 7 and they take him there. Do not. I can see the look on your face, and that's where you're going to go. Do not say that.
I would say being realistic, because the trade up, given the amount of teams that are going to be interested in trading up and the teams that are ahead of them, like Young and Stroud probably isn't going to happen. So putting that to aside, like I think the best case scenario for them is honestly staying put at 7 and getting to a point where they feel comfortable enough to do it. But the player that just makes the most sense from a football perspective is Jalen Carter to me. I mean, he is the best defensive player I think that's going to be available at 7. I think he would unlock that defensive line in the middle with Crosby and Jones on the edge. Like, I just think he's like, he could be like the second best player in his draft, maybe, on a lot of people's big boards. It's just, you know, the off the field stuff, obviously. But if they were able to get to the point where they feel comfortable enough doing it, like, and they feel like they it's not going to be, obviously you don't really know, but they're the risk averse. They feel like he's, you know, enough risks are put to the side to do it. Like, I think that's the best football outcome for them. Because otherwise, I mean, like, they might have to, you know, you're reaching on a quarterback, or, you know, maybe you end up in a situation where, you know, you're taking, you know, you have to trade back and you end up with a not so good player, maybe a player who's not a year one starter. Like, I think he could be like immediately like a really, really, really good defensive tackle. So for me, like, that's the best football outcome. Like, you know, is all off the field stuff cleared up? Like, I don't think we really know. I think that's going to be pretty fluid going through draft night again, but I think that's like the best. Realistic anyway, like, you know, obviously them getting CJ Stroud or Bryce Young would be the best outcome, but like, I just don't really know how they're going to pull that off.
Jalen Carter scares me, man. I mean, you know, with all the off-field stuff, but then to show up at your pro day 9 pounds heavier than you did at the combine and just look like you'd done absolutely nothing but sit on a couch all day, it scares me, you know. And then you're going to give him a huge contract. And I think the Vegas factor is real for players. So, you know, you're going to put him in Vegas, give him a ton of money. It scares me with Carter. But, say, you know, I think the best case scenario, I kind of laid it out earlier, is if, you know, you get Young going number one, and then you get Levis going at, you know, 2 or 3, and then somebody trades up and picks Stroud. And then the Raiders have either a chance to pick Richardson at 7 or pick him at 5. I mean, me and Sean talked about it. We're pretty infatuated with Richardson and his potential. So to me, that'd be the best case, realistic scenario.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Carter is a phenomenal player, but I don't think they can take him. I'm pretty sure they won't. I think he's just got too many question marks, the legal problems. Henry Ruggs happened 2 years ago. I think it's just it's too soon to take that kind of risk. If you're a new regime making your first pick, obviously you can take some risk, but that's a really big one to kind of stake your flag on. And I just think that to me, the best case scenario is you get a defensive impact player. I think I love Devon Witherspoon. I mean, that'd be the guy I would want. I think he fits, and I think he's a big time player. My fear there is the Lions need a cornerback pretty badly at 6. So I think he'll probably be their guy. If not, Christian Gonzalez also, I think, is really good. But so I'd say, you know, the best defensive player available. If you can trade down and get a guy like Joy Porter or like the Shonson Nolan Smith and get more picks, it's probably even better. But to me, get a no doubt impact defensive player and start building a defense.
I mean, I agree with Vic. I think adding that defensive impact player, they just have so few. They have one defensive impact player, and you could, you know, maybe throw Hobbs in there in the mix as a guy that, you know, he's really good as rookie year, not as good as last year. But if you can get him into his natural position, but if you're able to trade down a little bit, gather an extra asset that can maybe help you move back up, like we talked about, into the end of that first round, add a defensive impact player, and then take a flyer on Hendon Hooker at the end of the first round. And, you know, I know there's concerns about his age and the injury that's going to push him back a year, but by getting him at the end of the first round, you get him for 5 years. You know, if he sits out, you know, is a backup, you know, whatever, starts the year on PUP, whatever happens this first year. But if he's a starter by year two, and you get 4 years of him starting on that first contract, and then you sign him to another deal, if you get 9 years out of him, That's not bad for a guy at the end of the first round. So that'd be my ideal scenario, defensive impact player after a trade down. And that trade down gives you the ammunition to come up and get Hooker at the end of the first round.
Yeah. But to be clear, going to what Ted said, like if Richardson is there at seven, like I would do it. But I could see how, considering the needs that they have on the defensive side of the ball, the relative uncertainty about if he's ready, when will he be ready if he's not, especially after we've seen in recent years, you know, the relative disasters with Trey Lance and Zach Wilson and things that I could see them getting. Because once you take a guy that high, top 10, like maybe at the end of the first round, maybe not as much, but like if you take a guy top 10, like that has to be your guy. And a lot of times if he's doesn't pan out, you're getting fired. And so you have to be, even at seven, you have to be very, 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 very certain. And compared to some of the defensive players that might be available, you know, even if it's not Jalen Carter, if it's Christian Gonzalez or Devon Witherspoon or somebody else that can help you like right now, I think all three of those players are year one starters. And you don't put yourself in a situation where you're making a quarterback commitment already. And it's not even about next year, because a lot of people keep saying that, like, yeah, we can go get Caleb Williams or Drake May next year. Like, for one, they probably aren't going to be that bad. And for two, you can't make decisions that way. Like, you just don't know how the board is going to fall out, if the team that has one or two is going to be willing to trade back so you can get to one of those quarterbacks. So I don't think you're even doing it with that in mind. It's just you have to be really certain that this is your guy to take him that high. And I think there's a lot of reasons why they may not end up being certain about a guy as raw as Richardson.
One guy we haven't talked about is Tyree Wilson. What are our thoughts on him? He's a guy definitely being that range for the Raiders at seven. What do you guys think about? I mean, again, like with the quarterback, if you have a chance to get an impact defensive end, you kind of take advantage of that spot. So what are you guys' thoughts on him?
From my understanding is he will not be there. Like, he's going top four.
Wow.
Top breaking. Five. So, like, well, that's the feel anyway. Like, he's, like, really surging up draft boards. And, like, some people
man, are if he's going top five and Levis is going top five, man, Raiders are sitting pretty.
Yeah. I mean, it's like seven players going top five.
There's a lot of, like, some people are starting to have, like, the Will Anderson conversation with Wilson. Like, it's getting pretty,
wow.
It's a lot of buzz there. I don't agree with it, but some people, you know, apparently are starting to. So, like, I mean, if he's there, that'd be a solid pick. You know, I think for me, like, I would probably be more leaning towards like trying to trade back if he's like the best defensive player available. Like, let's say, I don't know, Gonzalez is gone and, you know, they don't feel like they can take Jalen Carter. I probably would just like look to trade back like we did in our mock draft. But, you know, I guess you would probably think about it a little bit.
I think there's probably some people that have him over Will Anderson at edge just because of his raw athleticism and the fact that, you know, they think that he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. You know, he can improve on some technical things, his get off and things like that, where, you know, he has a really, really high ceiling. So, you know, I would think that'd be a good pick at seven if he's there. There's not a lot of mock drafts that have him at seven, but I mean, if he's there, I can see why they would want to draft him. The guy has an incredibly high ceiling.
I got a whole new scenario, man. If that's going to happen, I want to trade up for Will Anderson. I want to get, can I get to five and get him? That's the guy I want now. If he's going to fall to five, give me Will Anderson. That's perfect for them. I think that's a guy. Talk about playmaker. My goodness.
Well, let's quickly. Let's hit worst case scenario.
They stay us. They can't trade up.
They take offensive tackle.
They also can't trade down.
And Peter Skoronski. They have to,
not impossible. And they not impossible.
They have to pick somebody at seven that they don't really think is worth the seventh overall pick. Like, who that player is, I don't know. But
somebody
like,
got his name, Peter Skoronski, the tackle. Yeah,
they take a guard, a Northwestern guard at number seven because they can't do shit and everybody else they like is gone.
Hayden Hooker at seven would be really bad.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's a good one, Ted. I never thought of that possibility. You got to get your guy, though, man. If you love your guy, you got to get him.
Got to get your guy. Get your guy.
Yeah, I just think in any scenario, they don't draft a defensive player or a quarterback. To me, is a fail.
Yeah, a quarterback who you expect to be starting at some point this season, or an impact defensive player. All right, we are going to all make our pick, but before that, we're going to quickly hit one other question. Give me one sleeper player. Does not have to be a first rounder. Can be a seventh rounder. Can be wherever you want. One sleeper pick, a guy that we haven't talked about that you like in this draft.
I'll go first. I got a defensive guy. I'm in love with Carl Brooks. He's a D tackle slash DN.
Fuck you. That was my guy. I saw him at the Senior Bowl in person.
We're in the same war room. That's good. If we agree, that's perfect.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
That's agreement in the draft room. Come on, consensus building.
We hadn't discussed this, so obviously we're thinking the same way. But it's a guy I like a lot. He gets to the quarterback. He's a little. He moves really well for a guy who's about, I think, he's 300 pounds. Yeah, big time playmaker. Bowling Green, obviously not the greatest level of competition, but I think he projects well as a guy. You can get to the quarterback inside, can play a little outside if you have to. So he's a guy I like a lot. Maybe the beginning of day three. Maybe you wake up on Saturday morning, that's the guy you target. But sorry, Deshaun, steal your thunder, but go ahead.
No, Ted, you go. I got to think about somebody else now.
How about Deshaun Manning, guard from – no, I'm just kidding. I just looked up a random guard on Dane Brugler's draft guy. No, I mean, he's not a sleeper, but, man, I love Zay Flowers' tape. Man, he's probably going to be a second-round wide receiver, but I just
– A receiver? Taking the receiver?
I thought we were just talking about guys that we like.
You're right. My bad.
Yeah, it's for the Raiders. Come on now.
Give me somebody else, though. Besides, Zay Flowers is great, but give me another sleeper for the Raiders.
Sean, you go first. So I got to come back to this one.
I'll jump in.
I'm going to go with a different defensive player that I also kind of took note of at the Senior Bowl. Deion Henley. He's a linebacker at Washington State. He's like a little bit undersized. He's like 6 foot, around 230. But I was just at the same. I was watching him during coverage drills, and like nobody could get open. Like running backs, tight ends, receivers. Like he was keeping up with everybody. He was 100 plus tackle guys last year in college. Even rushed the passer a little bit. I think he had 4 sacks. And he has like the build of like a prototypical modern linebacker that can cover, stop the run, and rush the passer. You know, he's a guy that maybe they don't need him to start this year since they signed Robert Spillane and Devon Diablo, but he could, or he could work in, you know, when they're in their 4-3 base. You know, he's still kind of learning the position a little bit. Like he was a safety when he started off his college career. So he's still pretty moldable at the position. Probably needs to gain a little bit of weight and get stronger, but I think he's a future, you know, starting nickel linebacker in this league. And is a guy that probably would be available mid late third round. I think we got him 80th overall in our mock draft, so that'd be my guy.
All right, I'm gonna give you a fifth round pick. I'm gonna go homer pick, San Jose State's Junior Fajoko, defensive end. He got some versatility to move inside, but he's 6'4", like 275. He's not a bendy like speed edge rusher, but I think he can probably get a little bigger, and he's a guy that, you know, high energy guy. I think he, as a mid round pick, he's a guy that can be a depth piece on their defensive line, and they certainly need some guys like that. So homer pick, Junior Fajoko.
I'm going to Zach Kuntz from Old Dominion, probably a fourth, fifth round guy, freak athlete. We know the Raiders need a tight end, and if they do decide to go heavy defense early on, you know, maybe they can get Kuntz in mid rounds. Obviously, he needs a lot of development as it's blocking and route running, but, you know, high upside guy that, you know, could be I don't think, you know, he'll play too much year one, but he could be a high upside tight end prospect for the future. And obviously the Raiders have Hooper, so they don't need to rush him in.
I like it.
Sounds good, man.
We are in the midst of our beat writer mock draft, and Tashaun is on the clock.
Who's available?
I kind of like, I mean, do we want to
see? Let's do it. Can we do this? All right. Yeah, so,
No cornerbacks have gone off the board. You have your choice of you have Devon Witherspoon available at number 7.
But Jalen Carter,
Deshaun is looking.
Jalen Carter's gone.
Deshaun has been making trade calls all day.
I don't think anybody's trying to trade up. But Tyree Wilson just went 6, so he's gone. Anthony Richardson is gone.
Lions do not go cornerbacks.
Yeah, Will Anderson. Witherspoon, Gonzalez, I mean, it's feeling there. Like feeling like Christian Gonzalez.
Levis is there, right? Will
Levis does not exist to me. I think we're.
We're not taking him.
He
but,
threw the ball off his knees at the 50-yard line.
Yo, Jamarcus Russell did some incredible things,
man.
Very similar to that, and we saw how that turned out.
His knees.
All right, the debate: Devon Witherspoon or Christian Gonzalez? What are we doing here?
Vic's going.
I love Witherspoon. This is my favorite, but I mean, Gonzalez, I get also. So I'll give you. You can decide, but I love Witherspoon. But
this is inside the war room right here. What are Ted? Where are you at with it?
Gonzalez.
Who's your number one cornerback?
Do Gonzalez.
Why, Ted? Give me a why.
I just think he's better press, and I think the Raiders want to be more of a press team and be a little more aggressive on defense. I think he fits that profile a little bit better.
Jimmy, any strong feelings about it?
I haven't studied these guys like you have. I read the work you guys do. So I know Vic loves Witherspoon. So I'll go with Vic's guy.
So we have a 2-2 split. Oh man,
2-2 split.
Brian, let's go, Brian. Our producer. Brian, get in here, man. What are we doing? Are we going Gonzalez?
He's a Big Will Levis guy. I can see Brian being.
Oh jeez.
He likes mayo in the coffee.
Brian goes with Witherspoon.
Yes. Do we have to do it?
But we got to check the contract now. Who has decision making power in the draft here in the contract?
We got to see.
You know, it's you know, you try to build consensus in these draft rooms, but it's not the you know, it comes down to at some point whoever has that in their contract gets to make the call.
Yeah, I might go John Gruden from a draft perspective, and just overrule everybody here. We'll see. Now I actually want to see if anybody wants to make some trades. Let's see here.
As Deshaun makes that decision for the Beat Writer mock draft, we are all going to make our pick. Here we go. We'll wrap up this show with everybody. Who do the Raiders take in the first round? We're not going to, you know, it doesn't have to be number 7. If you trade back, but give us one name. Only one name. We're going to hold you to it. That's your pick for the Raiders at number 7.
I mean, I'll go first. I'll be obvious. I'll go with Witherspoon. That's my guy. I think he's a great fit. I think it fits well with the scheme. I think he's a big-time playmaker. I think he can do a lot of things in terms of where he can play in the field, versatility, good in coverage, can tackle really well, hits the hell out of people. So he's my guy. So I think that's the guy I'll say. Witherspoon for the Raiders in the first round.
I'll go. I know Deshaun said he doesn't think he's going to be there, but Tyree Wilson, he ends up falling, and it's a name that we haven't been projecting. And to me, like, if I'm going to make a final pick, I'm going to go with a name that we haven't been projecting, because that is what happens when the Raiders draft. They get on the board and they draft somebody that we all say, what?
I like it.
But I don't think we're going to be saying what there. I mean, I think I don't think that would be a bad pick at 7, but that's where I'm going.
I'm just going to say C.J. Stroud.
Wow.
Texas pick, wow. Texas
trade
pick
up,
a non-quarterback.
Trade up.
They trade up and they get Stroud.
They go up to 3?
At 7?
No, at 3.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, there's no way in hell.
I like it.
I'm just going with Christian Gonzalez. I'll do that. I want to say Anthony Richardson. Everybody knows I'm his agent now. Like, I've been rooting for him for months. But it just, for one, it's seeming like he's probably not going to be there. And if he is, you know, it may not be the most prudent situation to draft him given their current setup. And so I'm going to go with Christian Gonzalez, Oregon cornerback. I think he's the best corner in the draft. You know, he has Pro Bowl upside, year one starter. Going to roll with the Oregon kid.
Whoever wins here, if any of us win, we all go out for a steak dinner, and the winner gets to choose how all the steaks are cooked.
Okay. All right. So hopefully I win so I can make y'all eat some real steak.
We put no pressure really on for Vic and Ted and I, because if it, you know, we have 3 picks basically to your 1, and we're all fine if we go. Maybe we'll come up with
and the winner doesn't pay. The winner doesn't pay and gets to choose
split between the other 3,
the cook level.
Yeah, the winner gets to choose the way the steaks are cooked, and the other 3 people split the bill. Yeah. I like it.
I got offered a steak dinner recently, but somebody that shall not be named, and I'm a little bit concerned about. Man. I don't know, man.
You want your advice, man. You're a wise man.
I'm surprised Ted didn't say Bijan Robinson, you know, with the way he's been picking shit today. He said Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers the sleeper. Well, that was good.
Not for the Raiders.
Yeah, it's not a Raiders podcast.
Yeah, this isn't a fucking Raiders podcast.
Not for the Raiders.
Ted.
All right, guys. Well,
alrighty, y'all. Well, that'll wrap up our draft preview. We'll see.
I have a caller for number 7.
Yes, let's go.
Ooh,
the Tennessee Titans are on the line. We'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how Thursday goes. Maybe you know, especially if it's a wild day, wild pick. If they jump up, they get CJ Stroud. We'll maybe come with some live reaction on a live room later. I don't know. It's going to be a busy day for all of us, but maybe we'll make some plans for Friday afternoon, Friday morning to discuss whatever happens on in round 1 in a live room or something like that. But stay tuned. It's going to be a big day for the Raiders. Draft day is always exciting, and this regime needs to nail this draft very, very badly. So we'll see what they can do.
Adios.
Later.
All right, y'all. Peace.
What is the exact definition of fugazi?